Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. The message to cities: batten down the hatches and adapt. A new study by the Insurance Bureau of Canada says Canadian communities must adapt to avoid the projected increasing costs due to climate change. The study estimates that by 2040, annual losses from extreme windstorms for the Halifax Regional Municipality alone could reach $18 million. A slight increase in the rate of climate change could easily increase that figure to $20 million. More alarming, the study found that one extreme windstorm calculated as a 1 in 25-year event could cost Halifax between $123 and $126 million. Shannon Miedema, acting manager of Energy and Environment for HRM, says that as a port city, Halifax is acutely aware of the effects of a rise in sea level and the need to prepare for more extreme weather conditions. Welcome to Encore, Shannon.
Thanks for having me.
The IBC report says Halifax is pursuing ambitious climate change adaptation strategies. Can you give us some concrete examples, though, of what the city is doing?
So HRM created a municipal climate change action plan about 2 years ago, and it involves mitigation of climate change, so curbing our greenhouse gas emissions, as well as adapting to what we think is coming ahead. So on the reduction of emissions side, we have a council-approved target for reductions by 2020, and that's 30% below the 2008 levels that we calculated corporately.
Now, those are the numbers, but again, how do you get to them? What do you do? What do you change?
So we've converted all of our street lights and traffic lights to LED lighting. All of our corporate buildings, when we retrofit for natural gas, we do solar panels on our roofs, lots of lighting retrofits. We've been picking away at our building stock. And then for new buildings, we build to LEED Silver as a minimum standard of building, which is a much more energy efficient type of building. We work on efficiencies with our fleet as well, with our buses and with our regular fleet, to right-size our vehicles, to have to justify new purchases of vehicles so that the size of the vehicle fits the need for the vehicle, things like that.
But speaking of the big transit system that Halifax does run, I mean, what are you doing about all those diesel-burning buses?
They're actually looking to convert all of the buses to natural gas. They've done some feasibility studies on that. Whether or not that happens is yet to be determined. We did run a few programs where we had some funding to put some systems into the bus that actually burned less diesel and reduced the emissions of the fleet as a whole. On the adaptation side, we try and consider climate adaptation on a project-by-project basis. So we have an interesting project right now by the St. Mary's Boat Club where it's called a living shoreline to try and tackle the pretty severe erosion that's happening along that edge of the coast. Another project is looking at the Northwest Arm seawall, where we accounted for 2,100 scenarios in planning how to repair that seawall to withstand that type of flooding.
Now, the report quotes Amanda Dean, a VP of the Insurance Bureau's Atlantic Operations, as saying that municipalities told the study group that they can't do it alone. They need cooperation and funding from provincial and federal governments to prepare for the damage caused by, you know, those more frequent, more severe storms and even tidal surges, I guess. Do you see any signs that funding from those other two levels of government is forthcoming?
Today, I'll say yes. After the federal election with the new order of government and Prime Minister Trudeau's commitment to invest in infrastructure across the country, we have a very expensive infrastructure problem across the country with just aging infrastructure that's not performing, and it's not well suited to what we expect will come in terms of flooding, stormwater management, things like that.
So again, for a coastal city like Halifax, that might include...
Sorry, the funding?
No, the infrastructure.
Oh.
That would have to be changed or improved.
Well, I mean, Halifax Water has talked about how much they need to spend in the next large number of years for, you know, just increasing the size of the diameter of storm pipes. We have a lot of
for the runoff.
We have a lot of impermeable surfaces as we've grown as a city.
Asphalt.
Yep. And when we get those extreme heavy rains in the really short period of time, that's when we run into problems with our overland flooding.
So, what would you do instead of paving everything?
Well, there are some creative solutions. There's permeable asphalt that you can apply when it in certain applications. You wouldn't have it, say, in the bay of a bus maintenance building, but you could have it in parking lots. And HRM actually has looked at that as an option in some projects. I don't think we've actually gone through with it yet because there are some questions around how it performs in frost and thaw periods. But all of that technology is improving. There are other things like environmental solutions, so having bioswales for stormwater, where they're more vegetated and they can accept a lot more of that heavy rain.
All right. Now, if there is any increase, though, in the frequency and or the severity of these extreme weather events, the insurance industry will increase premiums to cover losses. Will this study help the cities make a business case to take to the other levels of government?
This study was kind of on the forefront of a new type of research doing the economic cost-benefit analysis of climate change in the future. So it's kind of weird. It's trying to meld the climate science, which goes out to 2100 and beyond, with the way economists like to treat numbers, which is more like within 25 years, right? And so the scope of the study was actually narrowed to just two types of impacts that Halifax sees and will see, and two types for Mississauga. The analysis was interesting. The academic research is important, but it's not a full cost-benefit analysis for what we'll actually see. So we don't know what the real numbers are. Plus, it's really best guess at this point. So they used all the data available that we had, we provided to them, and they used all the recent climate modeling. But there are a lot of assumptions and a lot of data gaps.
And how does that relate to actual insurance premiums the city might be paying?
Yeah, IBC says that they're a partner in this with everybody, and they have some number of, for every dollar that's claimed in insurance, there are actually $3 that cannot be claimed. So while this type of research benefits IBC and the insurance companies, it also benefits the public at large.
Now, is there an educational component that the city has to tackle when it talks to its taxpayers about this?
Possibly. We don't actively engage broadly on at least insurance rates, because we leave that to IBC and the general insurance companies. And this is the first release of a study of this kind, so we haven't done anything specific on that front. We do engage with citizens on climate preparedness and things that we're doing and things they can do to be better prepared and have less financial loss in a storm.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. My guest in this week's edition of Encore is Shannon Miedema, Acting Manager of Energy and Environment for the Halifax Regional Municipality. Shannon, the report says Halifax is implementing its Municipal Climate Change Action Plan, mapping sea level rise and land use vulnerability. Can you briefly give us some details about how that's playing out?
Yes, so we had some LIDAR flown, some data to give us elevation, very detailed elevation information along a lot of our coast and some of our rivers. And with that, the sea level rise flooding scenarios were created. And this was a number of years ago now, maybe 7 years ago. And council actually adopted a scenario that we were going to work in our planning processes with. Now there's been new science and new findings through the IPCC. And so we've taken those new numbers and redone our flooding maps. And the flooding maps then get used to do kind of a vulnerability matrix for all of the properties around the inner harbor of Halifax. We are hoping to get a new set of LIDAR to get updated information.
Now, LIDAR is, for people not familiar with the term?
I don't remember. it's a type of radar that can get at all the very detailed elevations under your water everywhere. And so it's for the whole coast and all of the watersheds.
Not just the visible stuff.
That's right. But we're hoping to expand the data set to include all of our coastal communities and all of our watersheds because we don't have a complete set right now. So that'll be kind of a 2 or 3 year business initiative if it gets approved by council during budget negotiations.
But when you consider cities like Halifax and St. John and Charlottetown, for instance, all these coastal cities, I mean, the tendency has been for hundreds of years to build right down to the water, both commercial and residential. And there's still lots of development going on. Of course, a lot of those places have underground parking, for instance.
Yes, the new developments, the larger ones on the coast, are required through their development agreement to account for predicted sea level rise and flooding. So they often will rise above the anticipated sea level of 2100. And also the ground floor is usually commercial, or if there's a floodable parking garage or something like that. Those are things that are acceptable in the planning process.
Do they have to take on mitigation strategies, though, too, to get rid of any excess water from some of these extreme events we've been talking about? Is that a part of the design these days?
There are some requirements for stormwater management on site for commercial applications, and I think that more is to come. There is an engineer at HRM that's working on a stormwater bylaw and policy for the municipality, so that's all still very much underway.
I guess it won't really be helpful if every city in the world tries to reinvent the wheel on these things. HRM is participating in an EU-sponsored urban policy exchange, I understand, focused on adapting to counter the effects of climate change and curb carbon development. You recently returned from meetings in Spain and Estonia. Why was Estonia selected?
The program that the EU is running is actually partnering various European cities with other cities in not only Canada, but also India, Japan, and China, and probably others down the road. So a whole slew of European cities were asked to apply, as were all of the major Canadian cities. Four Canadian cities were partnered with four European cities. Tallinn is a port city like Halifax with a similar population.
It's the capital of Estonia.
It is.
And other similarities?
They are actually in a much better position in terms of climate change currently, and the way they've developed their city is actually a lot different. They don't build right on the coast. So there are some things that we can learn from them and some that they can learn from us.
And did you see some things that gave you aha moments that this might work back home?
Tallinn is really advanced in its technology, and the way it administers its city for its people is really efficient, and we found that really, really interesting. They're also working on a lot of similar projects, so planning streets properly, your main street, so that it's pedestrian-friendly. They have free transit there for all residents of Tallinn or Estonia. And there were definitely some interesting things. They showed us a road that goes to nowhere because it's crumbled into the sea. So they do have some coastal erosion problems like we do also.
Well, Shannon, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I've been speaking with Shannon Miedema, Acting Manager of Energy and Environment for the Halifax Regional Municipality. You've been listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. Each week at this time, BoomersWork.com brings you Encore. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring topics of special interest to the growing number of Canadians aged 50 and over. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great day.